Joshua chapter 23, verses 6 through 13, Bible says,
be very strong. Would you say strong?
Strong.
Be very strong, says Joshua, and be careful. Would you say careful? There we go. Be strong and be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. That's pretty good. Isn't that good? No one has been able to withstand you. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord your God fights for you, just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But, would you say but? But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your backs and thorns in your eyes. I don't know about unpleasantness, but a thorn in the eye. I mean, I get a grain of sand in my eye. That is rather unpleasant. Amen? I cannot imagine a thorn in my eye. Whips on your backs, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing that you're mighty in this place, knowing that you are able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we are surrounded by danger and we have challenges that beset us, Lord, that you would meet us, Lord, right here today. Lord, we need some answers. We need some help, just like your children did. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Well, I have a news flash for you. It's raining outside. Did you notice that? Joe, I went to wake him up and said, I'm already awake, Dad. The rain woke me up this morning. It's right outside my window. Rain has been a challenge for us. Rain has brought problems on my family because it creates flooding in our back room. The room that the Lord has blessed us with. Has the Lord blessed you with stuff, by the way? The Lord has blessed us with a lot of good stuff. And one of the challenges that we have with the blessing of the new room is that it floods. And it floods when?
It rains.
When it rains hard. Joey and I, Joe growing up, 6'2 now. How much you weigh, 205? 205, what, 210? Yeah, 205 glorious pounds. I was able to, I bought myself a pair, the flooding is, creates drama in our house because my wife, the worst thing that can possibly happen is for anything to get wet inside the house. Oh no, it's drama. So it's going to rain, it's going to flood. Oh my, oh my, oh my. It's the worst thing on the planet, right? I went so far as to buy myself size 10.5 rubber boots like you used to mix concrete with, and I would go out and I would fight the elements. I would sweep the water. I would handle all of this stuff. Okay, are you tracking with me? And then when my son became big enough, I went out and bought him size 12.5 rubber boots, and we would together join arms and join forces and fight the water that would come and rush into our home and save our family, save my wife, and all that stuff. And some of us live our lives like that. That we hope and pray, and I'll tell you what, I mean, it was like last year, it was 180 days, no rain, right? It's like, and then one day the rain comes. Some of us live our lives like that. I'm hoping it doesn't rain. I'm hoping it doesn't rain. I'm hoping it doesn't rain. And when it rains, oh no! The world is caving in on me. Because one day it's going to rain. Trouble's going to come. That's what Joshua is talking about in Joshua chapter 23. Trouble's going to come. And I want you to be ready for it. I want you to be prepared for it. Joshua is getting ready to die. Yeah, God's people are going to die. Amen? Everybody in this room is going to die one day. And you know what I'm wondering is if you, when you get the chance, I'm hoping you have the chance, because not everybody gets a chance. Mike Schwab went to church here, I don't know, 40, 50 years, 95 years old, and something happened to him one day. Fell down, broke his hip or something crazy. And, you know, he went into this tailspin, and they put him on a breathing thing and an aspirator and all these tubes and all these things. And he was there for, like, I don't know, 10 days, 2 weeks. And because he had that tube down his throat, he never was able to talk. He did not have the option that Joshua has right now to say, okay, here's these people that he's invested 40 years of his life in. Let me convey my message for your future. I'm hoping that you have that opportunity. And if you did, what would you tell the people that you've invested your life in? I would imagine it would be the most important thing in your life. Amen? So this is the message that we get in chapters 23 and 24 of Joshua. His life boiled down. The most important thing he has to say. He has led a life of victory, taking the land. Taking the promised land, led his people to victory after victory after victory. I'd love to have a message of victory, a message of trust. Just serve the Lord. Just serve the Lord and he will take care of you. You will move from victory to victory to victory. But that is not this message. This is a message of caution. Oh my, that's not the message I'm looking for. I'm hoping for. He says, you've seen what happens when you follow the Lord. Things go good. You've seen what happens when you don't follow the Lord. Things don't go so good. Life has consequences. I hope you're figuring that out. So he says to the Israelites, and I'm telling that to you today. I hope you're figuring out that when you go your own way, it's a whole lot more dangerous out there. Yeah? Oh, I found that out. Found that out, Juan? It's dangerous out there, right? Man, you spin around, start following the Lord, things line up a whole lot better. We're going to take a look at the message of Joshua this morning. And the title of today's message is The Most Important Thing. Sound good? Sound good? All right, let's take a look at this. All right, point number one. You can live life with the Lord. You can do this. You can make this work. You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. And one thing that I have learned in my life, and Joshua learned in his life, that God's people experience God's power. Have you found that to be true? God is real. The Israelites had no doubt. They knew it for sure. How did they know? They had experienced him. They had crossed the Jordan in flood. They stepped in there. They put the Ark of the Covenant. The water just dried up, piled up. Town of Adam, upstream about 10, 12 miles. They marched around Jericho 7 times. And the walls fell down and they went in and they experienced victory. Now, can you imagine that would be a life-changing incident? Amen? They went and they fought in Gibeon. And the sun stood still for 24 hours. Whoa, you got my attention, Lord. Amen? See, they had experienced the life of the Lord. They had followed him. You can experience your life with the Lord if you follow him now. You go through the challenges of life and you rely upon him. And you experience God day in and day out. Perhaps you have experienced that. Have you experienced the reality of God in your life? I know he's real. There is no doubt. Experiencing the life of God. When you do,
will be changed. Amen? Point number B. Point letter B. B, 1B, here we go. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribe all the land of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered, between the Jordan and the great sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will drive them out of your way. He will push them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God has promised you. That's a promise that God made for his people. Amen? He says God's still for you. He's addressing the leaders of his people as he is 111 years old. God is still for you. There are still victories that remain for you. God is not done. God is still involved. And today, God is still involved. Amen? As you go to work, as you go to face the challenges of your life, God is still involved. God is still for you. Now, there were still enemies in their land. How many of you got some people that are standing against you? Challenges that are facing you. There are still battles to be fought. There are still enemies to be conquered. And the Bible says that these Canaanites, their enemies, God would push them out. God would force them out before them. God had made them a promise way back when they were coming out of Egypt. He says, I will take you as my own people. I like that part. He says, I will be your God. And then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And there is this relationship that we can have with God. There is this experience that we have living the life of the Lord. That as you go through your daily activities, you can be synced up with God or not. You can rely upon Him or not. Does that make sense? Belshazzar is not here today. He rides an electric wheelchair and rain messes him up. There are lots of challenges that Belshazzar has. Amen? He made it to prayer last Saturday. Not yesterday, we did it Saturday. He had not made many of the prayer meetings because of the physical challenges he's had in his life. Because of his body and the pain that he's dealing with and all the drama. And he made his way to that prayer meeting. I came in at the end, and Lisa had prayed specifically for him, and Pastor Paul and Ann began to pray for him, I came over and prayed with them as well, and I could tell that there was something that was going on in Belshazzar. God was touching Belshazzar, and he came back, and he told Pastor Paul at the end of services. Belshazzar, I got to say at the beginning of service, we got to share this. He said, I went home, and I have not slept for 3 or 4 days. Because of the incredible pain that I've been experiencing in my body. He said, after the prayer meeting, I went home and I slept the whole night. Now, Belshazzar has experienced the power of God in his life many times. The challenges of God provide opportunity. The challenges of our life provide opportunity for God. And so Joshua is talking to the Israelites, and he's saying, we have had years of conquest, but we're not done. There are yet enemies in the land, and the Lord will still continue to fight them. Try to know where you are today. I don't know what challenges you have before you. And maybe you have had some victories, and you have come to a point of complacency, saying, you know what, this is good enough. The Lord would say, Joshua would say, don't give up. Keep on battling. There's victory still to come. Amen? All right. Point number two. God's people need to be faithful. I think we could have that message today, right? God's people need to be faithful. He says, be very strong. Not just a little bit strong. Not just kind of strong. You be how strong? Very strong. And you be very strong and you be careful. Doesn't say very careful. I might be very careful too, though. Say, be very strong and be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses. We're talking there about the 5 first books of the Bible.
I think we can go ahead and just try and be obedient to the whole book. Does that sound like a good idea? Nah, Pastor, I don't know. There's this page I don't like in the back. Yeah, the whole book is a good thing. Let's be strong and be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left. Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Don't invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them, but you are to hold fast. Say that word for me, hold fast. You are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. Let's not turn to the right or left. Let's not get off track. You hold on as you have always held on. I'm moving on, but you guys hold on to God. Amen? We are surrounded by danger. We are beset by challenges. Have you got danger in your life? Have you got challenges in your life? They did back then. Be strong. Be careful. There's stuff, man, that'll mess you up. I found stuff. Mess me up. That word there, hold fast. Right there. Hold fast. Word there is a Hebrew word. Dabak. I would imagine none of you have ever heard of Dabak. No, not Dabak. Dabak. Same word is used in Genesis. When a man and a woman would be united, a man and a woman would be Dabak. And they would become one flesh. Okay? And so that is the picture that the Lord has on our union with Him. That we are to be dabak with the Lord. That we are to be one flesh with God. Now, is that how you've seen it up until now? When I saw the tie in those words, and when I see the tie that I have with Lisa, and the tie that maybe you have with your spouse, that one flesh relationship, that is a picture. In fact, Jesus is called the bridegroom. And the church is the bride, that we are prepared to become one flesh. Amen? One flesh. Dabat. Now, he says, you got to stay hooked up and synced up with God because why? There's danger in the land. And that was not the plan. The plan of God was that those dangers would be removed. Deuteronomy chapter 7, last end of verse 2 and beginning of verse 3, it says, you must destroy them who? All those nations that are still in the land. Destroy them. Get rid of them. You must destroy them totally, make no treaty with them, and show them no mercy. And they did not obey the Lord. Why? There were sections of the land that were not conquered. Now, I got a little map for you. Do you guys like my map, by the way? That's three. Okay, that's three. All right. This is Israel right here, okay? And these green stripes are the land that they had taken. This is from the beginning of Judges. So this is the very end of Joshua. Just kind of grab the beginning of Judges and get a snapshot of that. Now, what they have is, this is the Transjordan tribe that we talked about a couple weeks ago on the, east side of the Jordan. On the west side of the Jordan, see all this area conquered. But you see these strips of areas. Were not conquered. They had enemies in the land. They had problems that still existed in their lives. And they were not dealing with them. Next book of the Bible is Judges. And Judges describes the failure of the people of God. The cyclical failure into sin. They forgot about the Lord their God. They began to worship other gods of the other nation, and they fell into sin, and they became slaves and vassals to those enemies. I have another map for you. The six enemies that they fell to: Ammon, Moab, and the Midianites. Now, these guys are enemies that are across the border. You have the fourth one is Mesopotamia, that's way over here by Iran. Okay? Understandable, man. You got some people on your border that are bad guys. You might have a battle with them. Make sense? Amen? Right? But talks about two enemies, the Canaanites, and the Canaanites lived in Canaan, the land that was supposed to be destroyed, the enemies that were supposed to be destroyed. And the other one is the Philistines, who lived right there. They would mess with the children of God for the next 150 to 200 years, all the way up to the time of King David. Now, I don't know what you've got in your life, but the Lord would have you take on what needs to be taken on. There's some stuff that you are living with. See, they thought, oh, the nations will be okay. We'll just kind of make peace with them. It didn't work out. See, they became lax in their lives. And sometimes we become lax in our lives. Amen? See, they allowed these people to live among them, and they made peace with them, but their children became enslaved. And so our laxity now will come and get us later. Does that make sense? The failure that has come and comes down the road. Bible says, Galatians 6:7, a man reaps what he sows. God would have our lives of safety. He would have us make some changes. There are things in our lives that are dangerous, and we need to be careful. There are some things in our lives that shouldn't be there at all. We got some things in our lives that should have been handled a long time. God's people need to be faithful. God empowers us for victory. See, you got all this defeat hanging around in your life because you haven't moved where? Into victory yet. I said, what are you doing? Why are you putting up with that stuff? The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. I don't know what stands before you, but the Lord will empower you to overcome that. Amen? The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations. To this day, no one has been able to withstand you. All the victories that have lined up in your life, the Lord fights with you. One of you routs a thousand because the Lord your God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. God fights for his people. And when they put their focus on the Lord, they experience great victory. And when they lose sight of him, they experience defeat. So it is not. The mechanism for victory is what? Pain. The mechanism for victory is consequences. Maybe you have some negative consequences in your life. The Lord will say, right there! The Lord points out that area of defeat in your life. Has the Lord done that for you? Has the Lord done that for you? Come on now. The Lord, he says, here, look, this is your defeat right here. Then he says, what? I will empower you to victory. How many of you guys have experienced the power of God to overcome the challenge in your life to find victory? Amen? See, what he does is he points out the loss. He points out the lack. He points out the defeat. And he says, this is how we can take it. And then he says, go for it. He encourages you into your victory. Amen?
Yeah.
Is your pain great enough for change? Well, mine and Joe's pain was great enough. And in fact, it was last fall, I think, that I bought a sump pump. Hallelujah. And I don't know, 6 months ago or so, I got a bucket. I bought the sump pump. It was Joe's job to dig the bucket down into the dirt. So he was digging it. That could get pretty quick. So we got the bucket sat there, and I bought a hose, and I got my pump, and I got a little bucket sitting right next to the bucket in the ground. It's got my sump pump, it's got my hose and everything in it. And we're just waiting
for rain. That victory, glory to God. And so yesterday, it's a rain coming. Hallelujah. And so I pulled the top off that bucket in the dirt. I put my sump pump down there, plugged it in, put my hose on it, ran that hose where I want all the water to go. And I'm going, please send the rain, Lord. Please, before it goes, please hold back the rain. Well, I just want to see it work. And I'm telling you, that what happened is the rain would start coming out, and it started filling up that bucket. And as soon as that bucket kind of filled up about that far, and a little float on that sump pump, and it just start pumping, bam. And it would empty that bucket in about 5 seconds. Not one drop of rain coming in our house last night. Yeah, my wife is celebrating. You know, that can be your life with the Lord. Serious, folks. Instead of going, oh Lord, please don't let that happen. Please don't let that happen. He's going, why don't you pray that prayer? Why don't you take some steps to change the structure of your life? See, I had to change my backyard. My backyard was subject to flooding. My backyard, my life was subject to failure. And the Lord said, don't ask me to keep your failure away. Ask me for power to change your life so that you will no longer be subject to failure. That's the whole thing. Do you hurt enough to change? Because when you change, you will experience the life of the Lord. You will experience God. Amen? It's good, right? All right, God is trustworthy. You found that to be true, amen? All right, Bible says, if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, we marry. I tell you what, we don't even get married anymore. We just move in shacking and move in. If you intermarry with them, you just bear their children. Associate with them, then you will also be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Why? They're your buddies now. You're buddying up with the enemy. How can the Lord drive them out? In fact, he says, instead, they will become snares and traps for you, whips on your back and thorns in your eye. Yowza! Until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. There are consequences for disobedience, folks. There are consequences for disobedience. There are consequences for disobedience. I found it to be true in my life. You can read the book, man. It is all over the place. God will remove his protection from you when you join the enemy. I got to show this to you. If you ally yourselves with the enemy, you know what that word is? Debauch. If you debauch with the enemy, you become one flesh with the enemy and you become the enemy. And not only does the Lord take his favor from you, eventually he would turn his hand against you. Why? Because he does not want you debauched with the enemy. Hear that? That's rain, right? Glory, hallelujah, my backyard is good. You can find that strength in the Lord. Do not debauch with the enemy. Do not join. Do not become one with the enemy. Or the Lord will turn his hand against you. There are some things that we kind of like having around. He says it'll end up trapping you. It'll end up ensnaring you. Described as whips on their backs and thorns in their eyes. Not an attractive picture. So we got some things in our lives that we may like. Don't, you know, they're not good for us.
but we like to have them around. I got some things in my life that will ensnare me. I got ensnared the other day. That's like poison to me. I get diabetes. I eat that stuff. But, you know, and Lisa was gone. I was kind of being good. Learning Julie's teacher a new way to eat, you know. I made me some beans, you know, beans are supposed to be like healthier than all this other stuff. But this is my stuff. Good.
You know what traps me up?
Oh, you know, it's almost like I can't hardly resist cinnamon raisins.
What do you got that you keep around that's not good for you? Keep it around. God says if you keep that stuff around, it'll ensnare you. God says a lot of that stuff should have been dealt with a while ago. Get rid of it.
It'll mess you up.
You don't, if it doesn't mess you up now, it'll mess you up later. See, there's some victories that stand before us. God empowers work. You've got to hurt enough to move through it.
All right. That point.
You can believe the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Put your hand up if you believe the Lord. Oh, I believe the Lord. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Oh, I believe the Lord. Okay. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. This is, he said, and I'm going to die. And he said, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of the promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Can I get a witness on that? Right? Oh, we're happy. Yeah, preach it, pastor, bring it. Yeah, yeah. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as every good promise. Everybody say good.
Yeah.
Every good promise, Lord your God, has come true. So the Lord will bring on you all the evil.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Can we just like line that part out, pastor? Bring on you all the evil. I can pick that right out. I don't want to believe that part. I believe all the good part. I don't want to believe the challenging part. But see, if we're going to believe God, we've got to believe all what God said. Amen? All right. So, he says, he will bring on you all the evil he has threatened until he has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he has commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land he has given you. Joshua says, every one of you has experienced the goodness of God. You have no doubt that God is real. You've experienced his power. You've experienced his miracles. You've experienced his provision. And if you believe that his miracles are real and his promises are real, then you have to believe that his curses are real. See, this is the part we're less than comfortable with. Amen? See, we like the part where we can do our thing and God's still on our side. I'll just go do my little thing and me and you are still because. Now I'm showing a rather tame little challenge up there. Your challenge might not be that tame. They knew God was real. They had experienced God. They had experienced the curses of God. They had experienced defeat in Ai. You go back and read about it several verses back, chapters back, and 36 died at Ai. Big whoop. Because you go back before Ai, they spent 40 years in the wilderness. And every home experienced death. because of their disobedience. Every home, every parent, every firstborn, every adult, the age of military age, died in the wilderness. As what? A result of their disobedience. The curse of God was tangible in their lives.
And I know from the first 30 years of my life, I know what happens when I go my own way. This is a dangerous place we live in. Amen?
God says, you got some stuff in your life that should have been dealt with a whole long time ago. But we think, oh no, I don't like that message. I like the message of God lets me do what I want to do and he still loves me.
God loves you.
God loves you.
But he'll still remove his hand of protection from you.
And if you go far enough, God's hands will be turned against you. Be strong and be careful. If I could tell you anything today, you have experienced the life of the Lord. So how many of you guys have done so? Oh yeah, everybody's hands went up. Oh, I believe the Lord, love the Lord, experience the Lord. Joshua says, if you have experienced the life of the Lord, make sure you don't leave it.
Make sure you don't lose it. Because there's some stuff that will break your makah with God. There's stuff that will break that union with God that you have got going on in your life. God says, I've been pointing it out for a little while.
It's not because, it's the bark. I'm sorry, my bad. The bark with God, one flesh with God, union with God. Living the life of God. Once you experience it, don't lose it. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Don't lose your debark. What's weakening your grip? What's in your house, what's in your life, what's in your home that the Lord's been pointing out for weeks or months or years?
Do we just say, oh, I just got a little bit?
He says a little bit will get you. You know, No.
Throw this away.
Done.
What do you need to throw away in your life? What is loosening your grip on God, that united life with God, that joined You can toss that stuff away. Man.
Oh yeah.
Still pretty clean.
What do you got in your life? The Lord says, you got to get rid of it. You see, some of the stuff we got to stomp in our lives until it is no longer attractive. Not good anymore. Literally, when I have cinnamon raisin bagels, I throw them in the trash without a wrapper.
so they'll be uneatable. My question for you this morning, what is weakening your grasp on God? What has he been pointing out? This little beautiful little girl. I tell you, there's distraction in our lives. This is a beautiful little girl. But I tell you what, everybody behind that little girl, don't even notice me. Sometimes we got things in our lives we don't even know it's God. We get so distracted by life. There's things that weaken our grip, and pretty soon we don't even realize we're not focused on God. Lisa, will you come up here, please? I think the Lord might be speaking to your heart right now. And maybe there's some stuff in your life that you need to just stomp on and throw in the trash. Time to get rid of some stuff in your life. Debacle with God. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning, Lord, knowing that you are mighty and awesome. Lord, knowing that you are for us, Lord. Lord, knowing that there are enemies all around us, Lord, that there is stuff in our life that should have been dealt with a long time ago. Lord, there is stuff in our lives that the challenge is coming today, next week, next month, or next year. And there is defeat assuredly that is coming to our lives, Lord, because we have not done the work that you would have us to do today. And right now, Lord, you speak to people's hearts. And you speak to their souls. And you speak to their minds. And you say, I'm done playing games. There is that which is in your life which is an affront to me, and you keep it around, and you pull it out, and you play with it every once in a while. It could be a person in your life. It could be a place that you go to. Every once in a while, it just squeaks out at you and says, would that be? Lord says, right now, you got to make a choice. And also, this is not the last choice you'll have to make, because there's other stuff. This is the one he's talking to you about right now. The question for you is, are you ready to say yes to God? Are you ready to be obedient to God? Are you ready to trust God enough? Are you ready to be empowered enough, be hurt enough to take the power of God and then be encouraged into the midst of that situation and go running into it and find victory? He says, have I ever let you down? One puts a thousand to flight. I've never let you down. But you're still playing with your sin. You're still playing with that thing that is in front of me. No one looking around. But the Lord Jesus is speaking to your heart. And you would just right now, just raise your arms up in the sky and say, oh Lord, forgive me a sinner, Lord. I have messed up so often. Lord, I have ignored your voice. There are things in my life, Lord, that I need to just toss in the trash. Lord, I need to just stomp at it in my life. You're here and your hands are up. Just would you stand to your feet and say, Lord, here I am. I am your offering, Lord. I am your person. Come and meet me here, Lord. Take this from my life. You have permission, Lord. I'm going to make a change to my life right now. I'm going to start digging in my backyard. I'm start setting up so when the rain comes, I'm just celebrating my power in you. My power in you. You're here this morning and the Lord is going to move, wants to move on your heart a mighty way. Your hands up. I just want you to stand your feet. Say, here I am, Lord. Now, I ask you to do anything else. I want you to stand on your feet, put your hands up, and say, here I am, Lord. Find me, Lord. I am going to transform my situation. One person in this whole place. I'll tell you what, folks, if you do not have the courage to stand and be touched by God, you will not have the courage to overcome your enemies in the midst of battle. All right.